Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Well, how was the day here?
Well, it was very good, sir. And I guess you had a good one, except for bad weather.
Oh, no, the weather was fine. No problem.
Television looked marvelous on CBS, which I watched. I didn't see NBC, but you had very good footage out of Cleveland. And a pretty good, a fairly straight report, considering CBS.
Well, actually, we had enormous crowds. It went on and on and on.
Well, even Dan Rather said that...
Down through, my God, in Warren, which, of course, wasn't covered, we had over 100,000.
In Warren?
Warren.
My God.
Yeah. It's a big town. But there were... And so it added up to about 350,000 for the day, which is not bad.
Oh, I should say that isn't. That's a hell of a...
And over at... we went to Griffin's place.
Right.
With 24 hours notice, they had 15,000 people there.
Isn't that something?
Well, so, all in all, it was fine. I was able to get a hell of a whack in on amnesty, too.
Boy, you sure did. I heard that. The TV didn't pick that up, but...
No, but they probably had it too early.
Well, the radio had it all afternoon.
Okay, good.
They told the story of how the sign was out in front of the house, and you stopped and talked to the people and said, by God, there will not be amnesty.
Period.
Period. That's right. You scored on that one very, very well. No, I thought the... from what I could see from this end and from what I could hear from this end and what I could read on the wires, the day was very, very well worthwhile for a Saturday. And I still think just about the right amount of campaigning, Mr. President. I think that Dan Rather, who loves to zip it to us, said that you were met in Cleveland by rain, but rain and enthusiastic crowds, so that it was...
It was. Oh, they were. They were great.
Well, the footage at the airport was great. The only thing on CBS that I didn't think too well of was Minshew was trying to crowd into the picture, but that's...
Oh, well, that's unexpected.
Mm-hmm. But it was excellent. It was...
What else went on here? Anything?
Well, CBS, to my surprise tonight, had two other interesting things. They led into the McGovern story by leading with that wire service lead for tomorrow.
Where he said he wouldn't support the president.
Yes, sir. God, I just think that...
You think that hurts him? I don't know. It just shows he's going to be a sour grape son of a bitch.
Yeah, but that hurts the hell out of him, Mr. President. I think that kind of a statement is just going to cause people to gasp. I mean, I think that's why... That is really why this guy is so badly regarded, because that's just not the American tradition. You know,
that's the draw. If you lose election, you grin and swallow and bear it. I've done it three times.
Yes, exactly. But more important...
And Goldwater did it.
Even more important than that, the country comes first. I mean, the country is... you put your country ahead of yourself or your party or anything else, and this guy's just...
Right.
Well, if I lose the election, the hell with it. I'm not going to call for national unity for this guy. And I just don't think people... I think people will react very negatively to that. I was amazed that Roger Mudd used it.
How about the peace thing? I noticed the star lit with the fact that Jew was bitching. You think?
Well, that was...
I'm not sure that bothers me too much. I mean, if he bitches, we're going to have to twist his arm in the end.
It doesn't bother me in the slightest, Mr. President. I think that Simlinger called today, and he said, I think I misread things. And he said, I never like to admit I'm wrong. I'm kind of bullheaded. But he said the attitudes are different than I thought they would be. He said you're getting very, very strong support in the country, and not the reaction that I thought you would get.
But it was certainly that way in the country hell there. The McGovern people, the only signs they had up, why not 4 years earlier?
that argument is just totally, that has never been
funny.
That's not going to sink in. The only argument we have to counter is that this was not a political move at the last minute, and I think that...
Well, the fact that everybody's bitching and it's not going to be done is proof of it.
Precisely right. That's why when you say if two is bitching, CBS led very straight tonight, simply saying that there were no further reports, French radio report that Kissinger was headed back there that Rogers was headed there to sign an agreement on Tuesday, which of course is not so, but the fact is that you keep the speculation alive. Mm-hmm. And I think people, I just think there's a...
feeling that, well, we're now seeing the end, and it's just a question of working that thing out.
Yep.
That's really the truth, too.
Yes, and I think that's the... I talked to Kissinger tonight. I think that's the one thing.
Which he shared.
Well, he understands that at some point this coming week that he may have to make that point. He was asking whether he should brief the surrogates tomorrow, and I said I didn't think he should. I think he should stay.
Rogers will do it, and I'll give him a little pitch.
Yep, I think he should stay out of the political... arena completely so that he's available to us if we need him later in the week.
Right.
To simply put the thing back into focus. I think it's perfect. I think if we could just keep everything the way it is today, we'd have a 65-35 election. I think Lou Harris is absolutely right.
Well, I'll settle for 60-40.
Yeah, well, I will too, but I'm not so sure that we would get that today. Did you hear about the New York Daily News poll?
No, what is it?
Coming out tomorrow, 65-35. For New York, yes, sir.
Good.
And the internals of it are the
65-35. Oh, they took the undecided then and moved
that's
it
right.
that way.
They do a straw.
They had 58-32 before.
That's right.
But they gave us, my God, 65-35.
For New York State.
That's unbelievable.
Yes, sir. It certainly is. That's the lead of tomorrow morning's Daily News. And it's a 3,000 sample, which is a huge base. 25% of it was polled after the Kissinger briefing.
Huh?
In the city, it is Nixon 56, McGovern 44, which is the biggest leader Republican has had in the city since Calvin Coolidge.
God almighty.
It's 76-24 in the suburbs, 68-32 upstate. McGovern wins, the only two elements that McGovern wins, Manhattan 65-35, just as we were talking about.
Which, of course, is the
Jews.
The Jews and the intellectuals.
That's right. And the Jewish vote, he has 58-42. And the Catholic vote, you have 75-25.
Good.
I don't know where people are getting the idea that the Catholics and manual laborers are leaving us. I don't think they are. Not when you get this kind of result.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm sure that the very fact that dual education thing went out helped a bit.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. It helped, and it was just at the right time, and it was good. And, of course, the peace thing, I really believe, I don't know what, you know, whether over 9 days we can sustain the same feeling.
It'll trip a bit,
yep.
But that's all right. They're going to trip and go to McGovern?
Yeah, no, it can afford to a trip quite a bit. It's really, I mean, I think when the New York Daily News poll is out tomorrow and the Gallup and the Harris poll on Tuesday, I just think they'll be throwing in the...
And they're going to print 65-35?
Yes, sir. That's what I understand. Clausen called me tonight. He was all excited. He just heard from the New York Daily News, and they said they couldn't believe it. It was so good. But they're convinced it's accurate because they've got a 3,000 sample, and they always...
Right.
Their poll has been off before, but not when you're talking about this.
Well, let's suppose it's 60-40.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if they're off by even that amount, which they're not, with a 3,000 sample, that would be pretty good. You know, they had an interesting thing on CBS tonight. It was just fascinating. I don't know whether they decided to make up to us for last night or not, but I don't think so. I think this was just probably already in the can, so to speak. But they had a survey in a bar in Cudahy, Wisconsin, which is an area I don't know. Cudahy, Wisconsin. I think that's New York. I think it's a suburb of Milwaukee.
Right.
But it was a bar that they had gone into in the spring and interviewed people that were coming in and out of the bar all day. All Democrats, 100%. And in the spring, they found them divided among Muskie and McGovern and Wallace, what have you, in the Wisconsin primary. Interviewed today, or interviewed over this past week, they had them coming in and out. They found that 49% for Nixon, 31% for McGovern, the balance undecided. But then they had interviews with these workers, and it was just incredible. These were the blue collar, largely Polish.
Right.
All of them Catholic, not very bright, Archie Bunker types.
Right.
And sitting there chewing on their sandwich and drinking beer, one fellow said, I couldn't vote for McGovern. He's selling the country out. He's cutting our defenses. Another fellow said, I'm not for McGovern. He's... all he makes are promises, and he's going to provide everybody a job. Huh. You know, and it was just a devastating report. The conclusion was that, surprisingly, this little cross-section, unscientific though it is, reveals a tremendous strength for Republican Richard Nixon in an area that was solidly Democrat just 6 months ago. It was a very, you know, very, from our standpoint, an extremely bullish little report. And then they led into your footage, and then they led into McGovern this comment about he wouldn't support the president if he lost and wouldn't run again.
I think that ought to be hit.
Oh, God, I just want to exploit that.
Right, don't you think our surrogates ought to hit that?
Yes, sir. They've got a sheet to...
What a shocking thing.
It really is. I mean, apart from the politics, it's a horrible thing. You think?
Particularly when the president has never attacked him.
That's right. Never mentioned him. We've got some very good material to give these fellows tomorrow. That's in their little packet that each one of them will take with them. And a good answer to it, including the 1960 stuff and what Cardinal Cushing said after the 1960 election.
Oh, great. What he said, Nixon should be the man of the year.
That's right. And how you had refused because you put the interest of the country ahead to have
right.
Illinois or to contest the election because it was more important that the... integrity of the presidency be preserved. Hey, what a marvelous contrast with this sniveling little guy. And of course, your speech today was, when you stop and think about it, you were talking about a mandate for unity, a mandate for peace, progress, and unity.
It was a pretty damn good little speech.
Marvelous speech. My greatest hope for the coming election is we emerge some of the stronger, not a weaker people. Are you going to contrast that with McGovern saying, if I don't win the ball game, the hell with the country, the hell with the president, I'm not going
to... I told Haldeman I thought we ought to run the one we did today, next week again, you know.
Today's radio speech?
Yeah.
Oh, I think absolutely.
Because, you know, it's easy, run it, and doesn't going to bother anybody.
Well, it's got a lot of meat in it. I, again, heard that on the radio this afternoon, and they were picking out some great portions of it. It came through in marvelous contrast to what McGovern said today. I mean, I just hope that jackasses in the press, they probably won't, but...
Well, they won't.
Put the two in juxtaposition, and...
Well, the main thing, we'll run the damn thing on radio again a couple of times.
Well, it's a good tone. It has a... That was the one a week ago that was the new American majority speech. That...
Yeah.
The morality... both of those are kind of philosophical, but they have a nice feel to them, very good feel to them.
What do you decide about your lawsuit?
I'd like to do it.
I think the man that go for your advice is Rogers. He's the best one.
Talked to Bill about it extensively, and he thinks I have the best case. You see, I gave a deposition to Bennett Williams, which Haldeman did not. And I was under oath. I gave sworn testimony that I had never heard of the damn Watergate, never knew anything about it until it broke, until I read about it in the newspapers. Hadn't seen Howard Hunt in months. He didn't work for me. And Bennett Williams is the lawyer for the Washington Post. He knows, therefore, that under oath I said I knew nothing about this. Yet the Washington Post has continued to nail me as the guy somehow, in some sinister way, responsible for the Watergate. Well, he's their lawyer who reviews everything they print for libel. And he knows that, as a lawyer, I, under oath, said I knew nothing about it. So there's an implication of malice, plus the fact that Bradley, of course, is out giving speeches about how we've got to be destroyed, because if we're not destroyed, the free press is destroyed. And what better evidence of malice is there? I think I may peculiarly, Mr. President, have a lawsuit that maybe nobody else has. Bill seemed to think so because of the deposition.
Because you can prove the malice and the others can't.
That's right. I think I could. Plus the fact I've, of course, practiced law.
And they had knowledge in this case. Their attorney did.
That's right. They're the same attorney who would review whatever they printed for libel had foreknowledge that I had sworn under oath. And in his examination, I mean, he had every opportunity to tear me apart. And I answered every question very honestly. And he knew it. I mean, they are doing this, in my case, they're doing it very deliberately. And in my case, I've, of course, got the additional argument of having had a very successful law practice in Washington. I can make a case.
This will hurt you.
Sure.
You can prove damage.
That's right, exactly. Which is a hell of a lot easier than punitive damages. So it may be that I'm going to do it this week and do it.
Well, all in all, though, that New York poll and then the Herald's cracking them Tuesday, that's going to really cream these bastards.
Well, the ball game is all over, as I told Kissinger tonight when he called me. And he said, what do you really think? And I said, I think the thing is just there's a certain momentum. There's a certain built-in forward. no way in a week that anything is going to change. I mean, it would take a cataclysmic event to even begin to move it, Mr. President. Does it?
That's right. The fact
all
that,
of it is on our side.
The fact that Pew deserts us isn't going to make much difference.
I don't think it'll make a particle difference.
Because the North Vietnamese have no choice. They've got to stay with us.
Well, the key also is that... damn right. When they get this poll data, that's going to make them even more more panicky. But the real key to it is that I think people have made their decision. I'm convinced of this. I don't think they want it. They do not want to change their mind unless they're given some reason to.
Right.
People don't like to change their minds. They don't like to admit they were wrong. They've made this decision now for weeks on end. McGovern is just pouring it out. I mean, my God, tonight I was watching the Saturday Night movies. He had two of his negative commercials 15 minutes apart during the Saturday Night movies. He's maybe overdoing it. You know, there's a point at which people get angry at that.
Yeah.
And I just don't think... I think it's...
I hope our negative commercials are running, too.
They are. Yes, sir.
Good.
And we're, of course, targeting him into areas where it makes a lot of difference. And where it will, key states where we really
good,
where we want to do it. But I can't imagine. I cannot see anything that could happen this week that would really make any kind of a.
We don't mind it treading some. Just we're high now, and we can come down a bit, and that's good. That's fine. That bothered me a bit.
Sure, there's plenty of room for it. You know, the Paris poll is almost exactly the same as the. Gallup poll on Goldwater and Johnson at the same point in 1964. It's 1 point difference.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. That was 61-32. This is 60-32.
Yeah.
On the last Gallup poll.
Gallup was what?
61-32.
This is 60-32, right.
Yeah. So it's really, you know, in American politics, things just don't happen that way. Also, I think the little episode with CBS last night and my conversation with Paley today, as Shrews was saying this afternoon, I made him sit with me and listen to the conversation. As he was saying, when we went in there in September and raised hell with him, things did get better. He thinks that today this may have been a break because they'll be super careful during the last week not to...
They damn well better be. But in any event, this week there's to be a total freeze on them.
Well, I think that we'll take care of those fellows.
Right.
We'll have 4 years to do it, and by God, I wouldn't give them a... They're going up the walls over this rerun question. They've been calling Tom Whitehead wanting to see him. I've said to Whitehead, do not talk to them. I've refused to talk to them. You know,
Right.
That's one place where we can really squeeze them very, very hard.
And we will.
Damn right. They have it coming.
Well, anyway, we'll see it at the circuits.
We'll cut them up tomorrow.
Bye.